Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the show today Dr. Winston Ewart, who is a recent graduate from Baylor University, received his PhD there in computer science, and currently working as a software engineer in the Seattle area. And Dr. Ewart recently published an article in the journal Biocomplexity titled Digital Irreducible Complexity, A Survey of Irreducible Complexity in Computer Simulations, where he basically looked at a number of papers that have purported to refute irreducible complexity through computer simulations. And what Dr. Ewart essentially did is he looked at those various simulations and found they do not actually truly simulate an unguided evolutionary process. And essentially, they sort of cheat, you might say, by including pre-programmed information from the programmer to achieve their goals. Dr. Ewart, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Casey.
Well, I first want to commend our listeners to go and read Dr. Ewart's paper. You can download it from the website Biocomplexity Journal. It's www.bio-complexity.org. And Dr. Ewart, I was hoping you could just talk to us a little bit about this paper. First of all, it seems like this paper is, in a certain sense, building off of prior work that you have done with the folks at the Evolutionary Informatics Lab. Can you maybe describe some of that work and describe what is it that you do at the Evolutionary Informatics Lab and what does some of your research focus on?
Sure. So I work in the Evolutionary Informatics Lab. In large part, we've been looking at various models and identifying what we call sources of active information in them. The idea there is that these models don't, due to some internal power of a Darwinian process, but rather due to the fact that the models are built in with information or knowledge about what solution would look like. And by exploiting that knowledge, they can actually achieve complex results that ordinarily we might ascribe to design, but they can do it through an evolutionary process, but only because the evolutionary process is somewhat fine-tuned and designed in order to achieve that result.
And you guys have applied this methodology of looking for active information to a number of different computer programs that have purported to simulate the evolutionary process and evolve things like irreducible complexity or some kind of a complex feature. So your new paper in Biocomplexity looks at a number of these programs. What are some of the programs that you look at in your paper?
The most well-known of the programs I look at is Evita, which was published in a 2003 Nature paper and was brought up in the Dover trial in an attempt to discredit intelligent design. It involves basically evolving a computer program which performs a somewhat simple calculation. Then there's also EV, which claims to have evolved irreducible complexity, and it's based on a model of binding sites, where you have one sort of gene binding to another. Then you have the Steiner tree model, which basically has the notion of a road network between cities. This thing, the cities are no longer connected. Then you have a geometric model, which is the idea of a growing shape, where if you lose any point on the edge of the shape becomes disconnected. And then we have a circuit model, where someone evolved an electronic circuit that is able to distinguish frequencies. It's made up of very small logic cells.
Okay, well, I'd love to talk to you about some of these programs that you analyzed in your paper in more detail, Dr. Ewart. Maybe we could talk about Evita first. And as you said, that is perhaps one of the most famous evolutionary models out there that's been written to try to supposedly, as you put it, refute intelligent design. And I've always found it interesting because sometimes some of these programmers, these ID critics, will deny that they really are attacking intelligent design. But I think Evita, it's tough to make that denial with a straight face. It's written by Robert Pennock and Richard Lenski and some other prominent ID critics. And as you mentioned, talked about at the Dover trial. So obviously this paper claims that it evolves some kind of a complex structure, which is called EQU. Can you explain to us what exactly is this paper claiming to have evolved? And is it successful in refuting irreducible complexity?
Right. Now, you have to be a bit careful with Evita because there's what the paper itself claimed, and then there's what was claimed about it at the Dover trial. So the paper itself, the title of the paper is The Evolutionary Origin of Complex Features. And so it's claiming to sort of show how evolution builds complex features. In this case, EQU. And EQU, as far as we know, requires 19 instructions in order to be calculated. It might take more. It's possible that there exist designs with less, but we think it's about 19 that are required. So that is the complex feature that the system evolved. At the Dover trial, Pennock argued that this was an irreducibly complex system because if you remove any one of those instructions, it ceases to calculate EQU. Not an example of irreducible complexity for a number of reasons. The one reason is that irreducible complexity assumes that the individual component parts are in some way non-trivial. So, for example, in Behe's examples, the individual parts are proteins. And proteins themselves are fairly complex. And in fact, it's an argument by ID advocates that their complexity actually presents a big challenge to Darwinian evolution on their own. And of course, when you take irreducible complexity, that just takes it a step further, that now we have to have a system of these complex components. In Evita, each component is a single instruction, and there's only 26 possible instructions. So that's about the same order of magnitude as, say, an amino acid. So the consequence is that Evita is made up of trivial parts, whereas irreducible complexity assumes that you're made up of complex parts. Another factor is that when Behe talks about how you determine whether a system is irreducibly complex, what he says is that you need to identify the roles of the parts of the system. But there's not any attempt for any of the models I actually looked at to sort of determine what the roles of the system are and whether these roles are in fact necessary to the function of the system. But I think finally, the biggest problem with Evita is really the fact that it's not a model of Darwinian evolution, in that the concern of irreducible complexity really is whether or not there's some sort of gradual pathway to produce these irreducibly complex systems. And the claim is that we don't think there is going to be such a pathway. But Evita doesn't test whether or not there is a pathway. Instead, Evita tests whether it can climb a pathway if we put one there. So if we look, for example, at the Mount Improbable metaphor, and now in Probable, the idea is it's very hard to climb to the top of the mountain because it's surrounded by cliffs. But Dawkins argued that, well, probably there's a gradual path up the backside of the mountain that we can do that. And irreducible complexity argues, well, no, the mountain is surrounded on all sides by this cliff and you can't climb it. So if you develop a model, you need to descend to the particular structure you give it. And if you build your structure deliberately so that it's possible to climb it, you've really proven nothing about what kind of structure and fitness landscapes we actually expect to find in biology. So as such, Evita and its authors admit this, that they chose to study EQU because they know they could build it off of simpler features, which they also reward. Now that's fine if you just want to know whether evolution can climb ideal landscapes. But if we want to know whether those ideal landscapes actually exist, that tells us absolutely nothing, and thus it really is completely irrelevant to the question of whether or not irreducible complexity can evolve.
Well, that's really helpful, Dr. Ewart. I know that Evita has been talked about a lot and appreciate your analysis. Well, Dr. Ewart, there's a question I'd like to ask you about Evita, and this is something that struck me when I first read the Evita paper back when it first came out, actually, around 2003. And that was that they used one simulation where they tried to evolve their target function, the EQU function. And they said that they used a simulation, quote, in an environment where only EQU was rewarded and no simpler function yielded energy. And to me, that sort of sounded like they were trying to evolve a system in sort of an irreducibly complex type of way where they didn't get any function until the final target was present. And they found that none of the populations evolved EQU under that kind of a selection scheme. So in your opinion, does that sort of represent them actually showing that actually they were not able to evolve irreducible complexity?
Right. Well, so that shows that if they weren't deliberately thinking, what are the precursors to EQU, and didn't deliberately reward those, well, it doesn't in fact evolve, because in their system is too complex to evolve simply by chance without somehow selecting the precursor systems.
Well, thank you. That confirms some suspicions that I had. I know that another often talked about program that supposedly refutes irreducible complexity or intelligent design is, so you talk about in your paper, the program EV by Thomas Schneider, which purports to evolve, I believe, something kind of like binding sites between different digital interacting proteins. How does this program fail to truly model the evolution of a complex feature?
So the primary fault of the EV model is that if you remove one of the binding sites, the system doesn't effectively cease to function. It still keeps working, it just works at lesser capacity. So basically, the most obvious part of the definition of irreducible complexity is that if you remove a part, it has to effectively cease functioning. But if you remove one of the parts in EV, it doesn't cease to function. It keeps working. Now, you can tell when the author of EV describes irreducible complexity, he thinks the fact that the organism, because it's at lesser capacity, gets killed off by natural selection. That means it's effectively ceasing to function. And of course, it's true that in a sense, if you die, you effectively cease to function. But that's really not what Behe was getting at, because there's a difference between ceasing to function good as everyone else and ceasing to function because it just doesn't work at all. So in the paper, I somewhat developed this metaphor as an airplane. And so the idea is that all planes which have two engines are actually required to be able to fly with just one engine. So if one of the engines goes out during flight, you're not going to crash. Now, of course, you're not going to keep using an airplane with only one working engine, but to say the airplane stopped working would mean that, well, you couldn't fly it anymore. And so the airplane still works with only one engine, even if that airplane eventually is going to be scrapped. And so the problem with AV is it tries to shift the idea of what makes something cease to function from the machine itself stops working to the organism containing the machine dies. And that's not the same thing.
There was one paper where you found that actually there is irreducible complexity in the system, and that was in the program Tierra. But you found that that still did not refute irreducible complexity because of the way the program used this irreducibly complex feature. Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Well, so the issue is this is network Tierra, which was sort of a bigger and better version of Tierra that was spread across multiple computers. The way it works with is that Tierra is not interested in modeling the origin of life. They're actually trying to model the Cambrian explosion. So they start with a program which already exists, and they seed the population with that, and then they run that program, and it basically copies itself and spreads throughout the network. So but what I look at is I look at some of the code that was in that original program. So it's not program code that actually evolved in the system. It's program the system started with. And then it could actually mutate and change this code, but it's sort of the origin of life event. We have a designed ancestor, and that ancestor contains the system I looked at. And so I argue that the designed system it started with contains irreducible complexity.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So if I'm hearing you then, there's kind of a theme throughout these papers, and feel free to correct me or elaborate and make it sound far more eloquent than I'm putting it. But basically, these programs, they either start with an irreducibly complex feature, or they're really not evolving irreducible complexity, or in some way, they use some form of active information to get to the irreducibly complex feature. So it's not truly an unguided evolutionary process. It's more like an intelligently designed evolutionary process. Is that more or less correct? Or feel free to restate this in a way that summarizes what you've found by surveying all these different programs.
Right. So I guess I would sort of divide it into those three categories where some systems, they've evolved something, but they've really not followed the definition of irreducible complexity. They've decided instead to sort of shift on the definition or focus entirely on, say, the knockout criteria and ignore the fact that irreducible complexity assumes that we have a complex system of complex parts all intricately doing something. And so that's the first category is what was evolved just wasn't irreducibly complex. You got the definition wrong. In some cases, you could argue that the system was irreducibly complex, but it was developed due to deliberately saying, okay, I'm going to find out what the precursors are to my system, and I'm going to make sure they're rewarded. So in other cases, what they've done is they've left this trail where they said, oh, what are the precursors to the system that I need? And they said, I'm going to reward those precursors, thus that allowing evolution to move from one precursor to the next. But that merely assumes the whole point of the irreducible complexity questions, which is, do these precursors exist, and are they going to actually be selected and rewarded, and are they actually suitable as precursors? And if you assume that point, such as we discussed Evita did, you haven't really demonstrated anything. The last question is that sometimes the system contains irreducible complexity already. Now, for most of the models, they very deliberately start with a completely random genome or mostly random, such that, okay, it doesn't contain an irreducibly complex system. Now, I went for Tierra to get an example of a system which actually contains an irreducibly complex system from the starting point because I wanted to say, okay, we actually have an example of irreducibly complexity. So this is an example of what would need to be evolved in order to falsify the thesis of irreducible complexity, just in case someone says, well, you're never going to say anything's irreducibly complex. I'm saying, well, no, there are actually examples of irreducibly complex systems. You just haven't managed to evolve one.
So, Dr. Ewart, you conclude in your paper then that these papers, quote, fail to demonstrate that their models can evolve irreducibly complex systems, especially on the scale of biological complexity. And I think that's a very helpful and useful finding, and I really hope that people will read your paper as sort of the definitive summary and review of the literature trying to evolve irreducibly complex features up to this point. So what is your suspicion and what are your prospects for the future of evolutionary algorithms that attempt to evolve irreducible complexity? Do you wager to make any predictions here? Are they going to someday find an algorithm that can evolve irreducible complexity? Or are you going to continue to find that basically their attempts fall into one of those three categories that you mentioned? Either they're not really evolving irreducible complexity, or they're cheating in some way, or they kind of assume irreducible complexity from the beginning. What do you think is going to happen in the future, or would you rather not make any predictions?
Well, I think that science is based on making predictions, and hopefully you get them right. But if you're wrong, then you have to change your theory. So my prediction is indeed that we're not going to find irreducible complexity evolving, and that everything we find is going to fall into one of these three categories. Now, I think maybe because I develop different ways in which a system fails to meet the definition, I suspect people are going to invent new ways to miss the definition of irreducible complexity, and you're going to have to update. And so I would expect that some people are going to develop new ways of not fitting the definition of irreducible complexity that I hadn't thought of or something. And so I might need to update in that way. But I think my prediction for the thesis of irreducible complexity in computer models overall is that they are indeed going to continue to fit into these three categories, and that without design, you're not going to build irreducibly complex systems.
I had my end of the line muted there, but you definitely had me laughing when your prediction was basically that the evolutionary programmers will come up with new ways to cheat to find irreducibly complex systems. You know, I think based upon past experience, that's probably a very reasonable prediction. In any case, Dr. Ewart, I want to thank you both for your time today and for the great work that you're doing. I think that a lot of people really are going to be interested in following your research in the future, and I just want to encourage you, please keep doing it, because I think you're just doing some wonderful work. So thank you, Dr. Ewart.
Well, thank you, Casey.
Well, I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for more on how the scientific evidence supports intelligent design over Darwinian evolution. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.